time was Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter number 4. Go ahead, brother. Please, while I read the word of God. Starting at verse number 28. Verse number 28. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. So the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom and by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, his nails like birds' claws. And at the end of the day, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me. And for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor, my brightness returned unto me. My counselors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, his ways are judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege of prayer. And thank you, Lord, for the good sweet spirit. Thank you for the singing of the songs. And thank you, Lord, for the reading of the word of God. A testimony has been given. The praise has been given unto the Lord. And I praise your holy name tonight, God, that you answer prayer. And I pray, Father, tonight these prayer requests have been made. And prayer has been made around the altar. And, Lord, I do pray you'd hear and answer prayer. And, Father, I pray for those today we've even talked with and yesterday and throughout this week, God, that has special needs. You meet the needs and hear and answer prayer. We'll thank you and give you all the glory for what you do. Now, help us tonight. We need to preach and we need you. And I plead the blood. I plead the victory in Jesus Christ. Confess the devil defeated and ask you, God, to help us to think and be able to say what we ought to say. Have your way in the service and we'll praise you. And even now, give you the glory for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. We come tonight and thinking about this portion of the Word of God. Now, the entire chapter deals with this subject of the king's dream that he had, and then Daniel interpreting that, then it coming to pass and happening just like that Daniel had said it would do so. But what really caught my attention in this chapter that I really wanted to share tonight and do so briefly is the fact, the testimony of a Gentile king. Testimony of a Gentile king. He sang the royal family, and I had no idea that he was going to sing tonight, much less sing that song. But I'm glad he did, because here's a royalty, here's a royal king, and giving a testimony. Now, I don't know, as far as I know, in Old Testament, or anywhere else in the Bible as I know of, place you find a Gentile king giving a testimony to praise unto the Lord. You hear others say, I've sinned, or I've done something wrong, or there is a God, but not giving the praise that he gave like he gave here in this chapter. Hey, something about this that got to me as I read that. And Nebuchadnezzar certainly was a wicked king and worshiped many gods when he met Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But something happened to him, and God got his attention. I'm glad tonight God gets attention. Brother McIntosh said 51 years ago, God got his attention and brought him to Jesus Christ, and he got saved, and I say hallelujah. I'm glad that's right, amen. And to say I'm in the royal family, I have to take you back to an old-fashioned altar where God saved me by his marvelous grace, and I praise him and thank him for that. And by the way, it was an old-fashioned altar wherever it was you got saved. If you got saved in your car, that's an old-fashioned altar. If you got saved at your bedside, that's an old-fashioned altar, a kitchen table. Where it was you got saved, God did a work in your heart, and God birthed you in the family of God. There's an altar there, and you got right with God. I praise God and thank God for it. But in this testimony of this Gentile king, I hope it'll help all of us. I want you to look at the first three verses of this chapter. Nebuchadnezzar, the king unto all people, nations, languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. And how great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. And those explanation marks there. And that king, now this is, he's starting out the chapter here. And if you're reading that and you didn't know what book is in, you didn't know the man's name, it sounded like a New Testament epistle starting now. And a praising unto God. How great are his signs, how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion is from generation to generation. Now he begins to talk about that in that first three verses of that chapter. He began telling about this, what's happened to him. Winds up the end of the chapter telling us about it and how he become that place where he praised God and gave him the right glory and right praise, and I believe he did. And there's something about that that's real to me. And Brother Bill said, thank God, God's real. This thing's real about being saved. It's real. Praise God, it's real. And it's real to Nebuchadnezzar when God got through with him. Wasn't before. God was just another God to him. A little God, but I'm glad he wound up a big God and recognized he was a real God and the high God and the one that was from generation to generation. And he had that. It was three times here God speaking to Nebuchadnezzar in the book of Daniel in these four chapters directly in some way. And you remember in chapter number 2 in the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had and about the image and all that, and how God told him about what it was, and through Daniel he gave an interpretation to it, and God's the only one that did that, and he admitted it was God. Daniel's God. There's only God that could do that. He admitted that. But he didn't give God the praise he did here in chapter number 4. In chapter number 3, he made his image and had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't bow, and had them thrown in the fiery furnace, and down there he saw the fourth man and said, likened to the Son of God. Now, he got another confrontation with God, and he said there's no God like that God. He admitted that, but he still didn't praise him like he did here in chapter number 4. But in chapter 4, he had another dream, and God gave him a dream about a tree that filled the earth, and then it was cut down, and from heaven said, voice said, cut it down, and but leave a stump of it, and said it'll come back. And then Daniel gave him the interpretation of that about himself and what was going to happen to him, and that's exactly what happened to him. And so we get into the message now. I just want to give you about three things real quickly here tonight about this, praising God and why he praised God and where he was. But let's talk about pride and the evil of that. And he got some good counsel from Daniel when Daniel had interpreted his dream. Look in verse number 27. Here's the counsel that he gave him. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor. And if it be a lengthening of thy tranquility. He said, now, if you'll turn around and turn from sin to God, and this thing can be changed here, and this was good counsel to him. But you notice a year later and judgment fell, and I'll talk about that later, but his pride stood in his way. Galatians 6:7-8 says, be not deceived, God's not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I believe that, amen. With all my heart, I believe that. And be not deceived. Now, God may not send judgment today. It may not be tomorrow, but judgment will come. And sin will find you out. He got some good counsel, but didn't pay any attention to it. He wouldn't listen to God. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1 says, he that being often reproved and hardened his heart shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. If you're being warned tonight and you're not saved, you don't listen to God, God said, there'll come a day and I'll cut you off and you'll die in your sin and be lost without God. And he's talking about those that harden their hearts and know that won't listen. Boy, it's good to come to church, come to the house of God, and see somebody's heart been tenderized and tender toward God, and then see them come and find Jesus Christ precious to them and get saved. I say hallelujah. That's precious, but how sad it is to see people hear the gospel over and over and become hard, and it doesn't bother them, and they pay no attention to it. And they go out, and sometimes, and I remember some particularly that went out from church and died without God and went to hell. And I've even been run off from a home and doing my best trying to witness to them. And I try not to make myself not overly pushy about things. But that night in that home, I felt so much God there, that those people needed Jesus Christ. And I tried my best to win them to God, and the fellas with me said, I thought you were going to get a shot before we got out of there. And we finally just told them we'd leave, and we did leave. But that lady died just right after that, and the man committed suicide. As far as I know, died and went to hell. I remember another man I visited and talked to, and he was real close to being saved, but he wouldn't get saved. Died a day or two later and died, as far as I know, and went to hell. I remember a man standing in church, young man, under conviction. I was preaching revival, trembled and shook, and yet went out and run a big truck over the side of a mountain and killed him. As far as we know, died and went to hell. I'm telling you tonight, it's dangerous to hear the gospel and not do something about it. When God's speaking, when God's convicting, when God's dealing with the heart and saying something to you. But you know why people won't repent and why they won't turn to God? Pride. Pride stands in the way. Pride gets in the way, and they're too proud to admit I'm a sinner, too proud to admit that I need God. But oh, I tell you how wonderful it is when pride gets kicked out, humility comes in, and you don't care what anybody thinks about it. The pride's gone, what they think about you, and you weep your way to an old-fashioned altar and across a Calvary and get saved. I say glory to God. Amen. I'm glad, praise God, the pride has to go. And we quit worrying about the pride and just say, whoopee, I want God. Amen. I need God. And praise his name for him. And you're doing a whoopee after you get saved. Before you get saved, you're probably weeping and crying unto God. Have mercy on me, a sinner. I'm lost and I'm going to hell. And you realize that. That make you want to weep and do something about it. But pride was the devil's problem anyway. He said, I will exalt my throne. I will be like the Most High. He wanted to be like God. He wanted to be God. And that pride was what was doing that. And so pride was in Nebuchadnezzar's way. That's why when the first dream came, he didn't give God all the glory. That's why when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wouldn't bow, he didn't give God all the glory he should have given. And that's why pride keeps away a lot of people from God, because they're too proud to come and say they need something from God. But God resists the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. In James 4:16. But let me show you something else here. Not only that, but let me just give you an example of something. And I was reading this and I'm thinking about it. What a message in it for Christian people to think about and unsaved to think about. Napoleon. You ever read about Napoleon history? I like history, but reading about Napoleon, he was a master at setting armies in place and putting whoever they are, the soldiers need to be, and getting everything set up. And he was facing Wellington and Waterloo, and they getting ready for a battle. And Napoleon made this statement. He said, at the end of the day, England will be at the feet of France, and Wellington will be a prisoner of Napoleon. But there was a captain in Napoleon's army that said, but we need to remember that man proposes, but God disposes.
And Napoleon said back to him, "Sir, Napoleon proposes and Napoleon disposes." Before the day was over, God had sent a storm, and rain had come, hail had failed. He couldn't get his soldiers where he needed them. Napoleon lost the battle. He came up short that day. England won at the feet of France. Napoleon, he did not have Wellington as his prisoner. He was the one and that was defeated in that battle. And I say to you, what was in Napoleon's problem was his pride. He thought he could do it by himself. He thought he had all the wisdom that he needed to set everything in order and win the battle. And he was sure of himself and thought he could do it. These people think they can handle their own lives. They can take care of their own problems and everything will be all right. But I got news for you. You can't do that. You need God to help you with all your problems, and God to help you with your life, or your life will be messed up just as sure as I'm standing here where I'm standing. Number two. Let me show you something else. Look at the punishment. In verse number 31 and 32, and I won't take time to read that again. I read it in the hearing tonight. But he said this tree's going to be cut down and said, told he's going to be the king. He's going to lose his throne. He's going to be like a beast and go out there and eat grass like the beast eat. And he did that thing. He did that. He went out there and said seven passed over him, 7 years. There's some prophecy in that, and I'll get to that a little bit later just quickly. But I'm telling you that king, here he is in all of his pomp and his pride. Look what he said in verse number 30. The king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built? I have built." He said, "I've done all this." But then immediately, while the words are still in his mouth, there's a voice from heaven said, you're gone, buddy. And that's putting in steward words right there. But he said, "It's over with for you. And you're going out there in the field. You're going to be like an ox. You're going to be like a beast. You're going to eat grass. And you're going to fall on you." Can you imagine a man out there on all fours eating grass? Can you imagine that? That great king that looked around, had hanging gardens, and had all the pomp of that day and the riches that a man's heart could desire, and ruled the known world of his day. And he was talking about what he built, what he'd done, and God brought him down. And he lost his mind. And we went out there and they drove him out and he ate grass like an ox. I say, God had to say so, and that punishment came. And you can rest assured, punishment will come. God's word is always true. Always true. Notice, please, if you will, in verse number 29. At the end of 12 months, he walked in his garden. At the end of 12 months. Now, Daniel had said this 12 months ahead of time. It's going to happen. But he wouldn't pay any attention to it. And passed it aside. Pushed it aside and said, "I won't pay attention to that. It never happened to me." But 12 months later, judgment fell. And let me say to you tonight, you may think you're getting by, but you just wait. God will have the final say and judgment will come. You remember that man Jesus talked about and gave the parable, I believe Luke 12, and tore down his barns and all that and built greater and said, "I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry." And said, God came at night and said, "Thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast prepared?" Listen, tonight, a man, woman, boy, girl is a fool to put off getting right with God as God speaks to their heart, deals with their lives, and draws them unto himself. But here's the scheme. I got a part I want to really get to, but I'm trying to tell you, he in his pride, and he was proud, and he defied God, and went on his way, but God brought him down. And God, in verse 33, said the same hour was that thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. As he talked, God said that same hour it came, and he driven out. Then at the end of days, now I want to show you the praise, and here's where I really want you to get tonight. And here he is in his pride, all he's got and everything, but God brought him down. God cut him down. God let him live out there like that. His hair grew long. His fingernails grew like claws of an eagle. He was in a mess. He out there eating grass. But then all of a sudden, God let his mind come back. Look at it in verse number 34. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven. Now notice he lifted up his eyes unto heaven. When he's in his palace, He looked around at things around him, and he was acting the part of a fool. And as he went on his way in his pride and got out there and God sent judgment, he acted like a beast out there in the field. But now he's looking up to heaven. Hallelujah, gonna act like some grace came by his way. He's gonna act like there is a God in heaven. He's fixing to say some things that are really a testimony that a Gentile king made you'll never find anywhere else in the Word of God. He'd been through that first dream. He'd been through Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And by the way, Nebuchadnezzar is not mentioned anymore after this chapter. He never mentioned again in the book of Daniel. I want you to know that Nebuchadnezzar, he come to the place, God brought him down. And when he came to himself, wasn't that what happened to prodigal? He came to himself out there and thought about his father's house. And he came to himself and said, I looked unto heaven. He didn't look around at the kingdom of Babylon and said, now get me back to my palace and get me back out where I belong and let me have back my authority and all that. No, no. First thing he did was look to heaven. I say, hallelujah. If you ever come to your right mind, first thing you'll do is look to heaven. Amen. He looked to heaven. And then he began to make his testimony here. Lifted up my eyes and looked into heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed. And then he began to bless the Lord. Hallelujah. He said, I bless the Most High. Now notice before he ever got to this place, in the first three verses I read to you, he called him the mighty God and the high God and so forth. But in verse number 8, he said holy gods. In verse number 9, he talked about holy gods. In verse number 18, he talked about Daniel, said, I know the spirit of the holy gods are in thee. But now here in verse number 34, it's no longer holy gods. It is the high holy one. He said, the high God, I praised and honored him that liveth forever, and whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He hath done according to his will in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Here he is, and I say, hallelujah. And he got to the end of himself and cried to God, and God, and he given God the praise. He looked at it and said, he's a high God. He does what he wants to do. He puts in who he wants to put in. And the army of heaven can do whatever he wants to do. And nobody can ask God, what doeth thou? In other words, nobody has a right to try to tell God what to do and how to do it. He knew where God had brought him from to, and then where God had brought him back from. And he recognized that fact and gave testimony to it. And I don't know about you, but these testimonies tonight, God had touched on that. And that royal family began to touch on that. And tonight my heart is stirred. I'm blessed, hallelujah, because praise the high God, the holy God, whose kingdom is from generation to generation. His dominion is forever and forever. That's what he said. And he knew what he's talking about. And he knew that was right. And he praised the God because of it. And notice in verse number 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, extol, and honor the King of heaven. And he didn't say the gods. He didn't say that again. He said the God of heaven, whose works are truth, his ways judgment, those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. And no wonder he said that. God brought him to the bottom. God had abased him out of all of his pride. And now Nebuchadnezzar not standing there saying, look at me, look what I've done, all that. He's standing there saying, I want to praise him. I want to give him glory. He's a high God. He does what he wants to do. He brings down the proud. He can handle anything. Hey, glory, hallelujah. I'm glad he got to that place. And in prophecy, it's the end of the Gentile rule. And by the way, that seven times speaks about the seven-year tribulation period. And Gentiles are ruling the world now. And they have acted like fools in what they've tried to do in generations past. They have tried to build great nations and tried to do all that. But God said they acted like fools. You know why? Because they left God out. America's going in the way of a fool because she's leaving God out of her life. and going on and think we can do it without God and all that and all the commotion that's going on today is because God's been left out and thinking nothing about God. And then 7-year tribulation period and Israel be reestablished and all that. And Jesus will rule from Jerusalem and all the nations will worship God. And they'll come and all. And here Nebuchadnezzar speaks of that. After the 70-year tribulation, they'll bring the praise unto God. They'll worship God. Israel, God, Jesus will rule from Jerusalem out of Israel. But the nations, all nations everywhere will come up and worship God and praise his name. I'm glad I'm a saved Gentile. But I guess in reality, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, nor bond nor free in Christ Jesus. Amen. We're just one in Christ. Thank God we're Christians. And we're a different bunch. I made a statement the other night about we're not Protestants. And we're not. We didn't protest anything. We just believed what the New Testament church believed in the book of Acts. Same thing. Amen. And what we protest is sin, amen. And we believe the word of God is the word of God. It's truth. And God will help those that will come to him. And I'm glad for this praise that he gives him here. And thank God for that praise. A lot could be said about it, but may God help us tonight to go away saying praise the Lamb of God, and the God that Nebuchadnezzar praised. Let me praise him. Let me bless his name. Let me give him glory. That's why you're created. That's why you're here. Is to worship, praise, and give glory unto God. We are to be witnesses. We are to be lights of the world. We are to help this world see Jesus Christ as the only Savior. But we are here to glorify him in all that we do. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you for the privilege tonight to open the Word of God and think about this Nebuchadnezzar, this Gentile king, and all of his pride, and all of his glory that he had on this earth, and all that he showed that his hands had said that he had done. But yet, Lord, you brought him down. The pride was knocked out, and he fell, and he's down there in the beast. And Father, I pray today that you'd help folk realize that all that's going on today, men are acting like beasts, and headed more and more like that all the time. And Lord, we need to know that there's a God of heaven. We need to praise him and give him glory. Give him honor. Tonight I praise your name. Bless the name of the Lord, O my soul. And all is within me, bless his holy name. And Father, I bless you tonight. Then Lord, there are those in the house of God that you're dealing with their hearts about blessing the name of the Lord, giving God glory, giving God praise. Maybe some here that just hadn't praised you like they should. Maybe somebody here tonight that they're saved, but their life's not where it needs to be. Something wrong somewhere. And they need to come and let Jesus Christ have his way. Maybe somebody here tonight that's lost. They need to get saved. Somebody just totally out of the will of God, but they know they need to come and rededicate their life. I pray in Jesus' name tonight in this house, have your way. Speak to every heart. We'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.